Today is the anniversary of the 107th appearance day. 107 years ago, 107 years ago, Srila Sridhar Maharaj, Bhakti Raksak Sridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj, appeared in this world, 1895. So that is 107 years back from this time. His divine grace lived in this world for 92 years. 92 years. 92, 93. Until 1988. So that's 93 years. Srila Bhakti Raksak Sridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj was born in Hapaniya, West Bengal, in 1895. His pastimes of youth were spent in learning, and he naturally excelled in every subject that he took up. From his very childhood, his tendency was towards the culture of the orthodox section, namely the Vedas, the Upanishads, faith in God, and all such things. He received his sacred thread in the family tradition when he was 14 years old, and his affinity for the divine world kept on increasing. In his early years, he was especially attracted to Lord Ramachandra. Later, when he came in contact with the divine doctrine of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he began to read Bhagavad Gita and developed an attraction towards Lord Krishna. After completing his primary and secondary education, Srila Sridhar Maharaj entered the Krishnanath College at Barhampur, Bengal. In his fourth year of studies, he graduated with a Bachelor of Arts degree in philosophy. For some time, Srila Sridhar Maharaj was searching for a guru from whom he could take initiation, but he could not find anyone to his liking. So in the beginning, Srila Sridhar Maharaj, he liked the study of the Vedas. And after he was 14, he got his Upanayana Sanskara in family tradition. And he went on with his interest in those things, means Sanskrit and the classical writings. He had more attraction to Lord Ramachandra. This is generally the case. It is very rare, or let's say it's not as common in the village, people will have more attraction to Lord Ramachandra. Almost, you can say, Lord Ramachandra is above fault. Although in the last days of Lord Ramachandra's life, not life, but pastimes, he sent Mother Sita away. After living in exile for many years, and then Mother Sita being stolen by Ravana, captured by Ravana, fighting Ravana, killing Ravana, regaining Sita, coming back to Ayodhya, becoming the king of Ayodhya, then suddenly he sent Mother Sita off to the forest. And in the common eye, this is indeed a very harsh gesture. Very harsh. And so some people, they will find fault with Lord Ramachandra, why he sent Mother Sita to the forest, why he banished Sita, why he listened to the complaint of that foolish man, why he did that. They may find some fault, but that is very rare. Generally, we never hear any fault about Lord Ramachandra. So everyone has got a natural attraction to Lord Ramachandra. But about Krishna, everybody got some complaint. All over. It is a more special thing when you find someone who actually has, from their beginning, attraction to Krishna. Because Krishna, from his childhood, throughout his life, including his adult life, his childhood, his youth, and his adult life, he has done things which are objectionable in society. When he was a small boy, he was a thief. He was a thief, Makkan Chor. In Vrindavan, Krishna is known as Makkan Chor. He is a thief of butter, a butter thief. When he was a youth, He was a playboy. He would always play around in the village, and he also liked to tease the village girls and all these things. And he held rasa dance and all these things. This is very objectionable. It is also objectionable if a child is stealing. And in his adult life, for example, at Kurukshetra, he told a lie at Kurukshetra. He did not fulfill his adult words as an adult. He should keep his words. But he went against his own words. He said he would not pick up any weapon or take part in the fight. But he did that in order to save the Pandavas. He broke his promise. He requested Yudhisthira, you should also tell some lies to get success in this battle. And different types of things like that he did as an adult at Kurukshetra also. He told Arjuna to kill Karna when Karna was, his chariot was broken and he was off his chariot. And generally, Kshatriyas, they only fight face to face when each man has got his weapons, not he will attack when he's in a difficult position. But Krishna said, no, never mind all those rules, you simply shoot him. So people find objection with Krishna from Ed to Zed, beginning to end. All along the way they find objection. Because Krishna does not follow all the social conventions. Krishna himself is the inventor of social conventions. The laws of this world are to govern the fallen souls. They are not to govern the Supreme Lord. And Krishna is demonstrating in his pastimes of mischief, in his frolic, and in his diplomacy, so to speak, he is demonstrating that he is above the law. He is the giver of law. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He alone is the enjoyer. Everything is meant for his enjoyment. And he is an autocrat. And everything is for his enjoyment, and everyone is his servant. Ekala Ishwara Krishna Arasabha Vritya. One Ishwara, Ekala, one Ishwara is Krishna. Arasabha Vritya, everyone else is his servant. Even Baladev, Lord Balaram, is servant of Krishna. Ananta is servant of Krishna. Shankarshan. All the Vaikuntha avatars, they're also servant of Krishna. They are serving his desire by creating, maintaining. Lord Shiva is his devotee also, and different aspects of Lord Shiva. Even Rudra, who destroys the world, he's doing that as a service to Krishna. Chamundi is a servant of Krishna. Chamundi, Durga, all these manifestations of different devas and devis, they're all serving Krishna in different capacities. Just like in this ashram, and in many other ashrams, in Krishna consciousness, everyone is serving Krishna in various capacities. The other day when we were painting, I asked Bhardwaj, would Shankaracharya, Jagat Guru, at Sringiri, would he come and paint the wall? And he said, no, never, never. He will only sit on a throne. And I said, yes, because he thinks he is Krishna. But when he realizes he is servant of Krishna, he will come off of the throne. And he may pick up the broom also to serve Krishna. But because he thinks he's either Krishna, or he thinks he's Parabrahman, or Brahman, in any case, he thinks he's Ishwara, Namo Narayan, Aham Narayan, I am Narayan. He thinks like that. Then why should he do any work of the world, lower work of the world? Certainly he should not. We do not expect that Krishna should come and broom the temple. But in order to teach us how to be a devotee, Krishna did come as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he did broom the temple. Mahaprabhu was a sannyasi. And as such, sannyasis are above the work of this world. They're not supposed to do the work of this world. Previously, things got changed now. India, swamis drive their own cars. Even from Udupi, one swami is known to sometimes drive his own bus. But 25 or 30 years ago, this was, you never saw any such a thing. Neither you ever saw a swami carry a suitcase. They never picked up anything. putting in the suitcase, taking out the suitcase. Everything must be done by somebody else. The meaning is that they should not touch the work of this world. But the Vaishnavas are quite different. Those who are actually Vaishnavas, they are quite different. They are above the work of this world in that they do not do any work of this world. But they do all the work for Krishna. All varieties of work. Printing a book. Going to the printing press. Proofreading. Printing. Working in a computer. Doing all these types of things. These are various services to Krishna. But the impersonalists, Mayavadis and others, they will not touch these types of things. Because they consider that this world is false. And they should have no engagement in that. The Vaishnavas consider this world belongs to Krishna. And everything in this world should be used in Krishna's service. And the sannyasi, all the way down to the children, everybody is a servant of Krishna. Do you follow?
Yes.
So Krishna is showing like that. His position. And therefore people find fault with that because they are either directly or indirectly they are envious of Krishna. That is a hard lump to swallow, that in this world everyone is envious of Krishna. We used to think or ask, how one can be envious of Krishna? He never heard about Krishna. Some person is living in Africa or Europe or England or anywhere. He never heard about Krishna. How can he be envious of Krishna? And so many nice, pious persons also are there. They do good in the world. How we can say they are envious of Krishna? I guess ultimately, to be in this world, there must be some envy of Krishna. Means that we have foregone our original energy. We have foregone our original consciousness. Consciousness and energy, we use these two words differently in the world. Consciousness is something that belongs to Atma. Energy is something that comes out of a fire, a car, a generator. But the consciousness of the soul is oftentimes described as the energy of the soul. Consciousness and energy, these two words are used with no distinction to describe the same thing. The serving consciousness and serving energy, these are the same things. So we, in this material world, we have foregone that serving consciousness, that serving energy, in favor of self-gratification. We're trying to please ourselves. For the most part, however, we don't know what our self is. Our self is covered by this material body, and we're thinking, it is me. When I see my face in the morning, I'm thinking, it is me. I am this face. This is the covered consciousness of the living entity. We identify the body as a self, which means the senses, mind, and intelligence. And everybody in the world is trying to satisfy body, mind, and intelligence. Of course, some people have less intelligence. They don't try to satisfy. Some people have less of a mind. They don't try to satisfy. They are concerned with anamoya. Anamoya means get food. I call it the rice bowl culture. Just fill that bowl with rice. This is life's ultimate goal. Like long back, once there was an incident here, our one security person cracked the other one in the head. Remember?
Yes.
One guy hit another guy in the head. Then there was a big thing about that, and Chandra's father came here. Why they are fighting, I've told him 100 times, simply work and get food. He confirmed life's ultimate goal. You simply work and you get food. How else can a man stand on the side of the road all day holding on to the rope of a cow? Watching a cow chew grass 8 hours a day. How can anybody do that? How can you do that? You can't do that. I can't do that. Well, there are too many things running in the mind. Right? We have to do this. We have to do that. We have so many things to do. Because there are so many goals that must be achieved. But when the only goal is just put rice in your bowl, That cow will give you milk. You sell that milk, 10, 20 rupees, you'll get rice. So you'll hold on to that thing and just stay there or any position, because life's goal is reached there very easily. Many people never think, what is the purpose of life? I asked my father once a question. I said, what is the goal of life? I'm surprised that I could even ask such a question. But somehow or another, I reasoned there must be a purpose to all this madness. He said, well, I like to think there is one. What it was, he didn't give any suggestion. But he said he likes to think there is a purpose. But most people never question life. Life is just to enjoy. Life is to live and pass that enjoyment on to the next generation. Make the world a better place to live in. Is the world a better place to live in today? Srila Prabhupada used to comment that Kali Yuga is the age of darkness. Yet there is more light of material advancement than known to us before. We have not seen, we have heard something of ancient times, but more or less, of anything we can see in the last 5 and 10,000 years, we have got more light of a better standard of living, material advancement now than ever before. And what is the meaning, Kali Yuga is the age of darkness? Apparently someone had asked Srila Prabhupada this when he was in Delhi before he came to America. Swamiji, why are you telling Kali age of darkness? We are in the light, basking in the light of science and advancement and civilization and technology and all these things like never before. So later, Srila Prabhupada spoke about that and said, then obviously this must not pertain to so-called material advancement. Either you lived 10,000 years ago and you lived in a cave, or you live today, you undergo four things: birth, death, old age, and disease. You did it 10,000 years ago. Birth, death, old age, and disease. Same today. Year 21st century. Same four things everybody must undergo: birth, death, old age, and disease. Nothing has changed. He says the darkness is in terms of our spiritual knowledge, spiritual wisdom. We are in complete darkness about that. The world is living without even a clue of the purpose of life, the opportunity which human form of life actually gives us. I said to somebody the other day, Kirtanananda or somebody, maybe Kunja Vihara, I said, if people knew, if the world actually knew what was the real purpose of human form of life, they would stop all this nonsense. They would more or less do just as we are doing every single day. They would grow food and do these things and raise cows and offer food and offerings to Krishna and all these things. They would create a garden out of the world in order to serve Krishna more beautifully. They would erect more temples. Everyone would chant Hare Krishna. And they wouldn't care about anything else as long as these things were going on more and more. They would not care about anything else if they actually knew that at the end of this life appears a door, and if you can walk through that door, you live forever. You live in eternity. Just like I say, Nanda Kishore, if you can get to the top of that mango tree and pick that mango there, you will live forever without any misery or suffering. Nothing will stop you from getting up that tree. Just short of cutting off both your legs, you will manage to crawl up that tree. Nothing will stand in your way, isn't it? You will live eternity in full bliss and knowledge. Huh? If somebody has no brain at all, completely brain dead, why? Never mind, you live here. No reason to live there. But if we catch the concept, just that, and that's the mukti aspect. That's just the mukti aspect. You'll live forever and never suffer. That's the mukti aspect. If even they understood the mukti aspect of the ultimate goal of life, which comes along as maid servant to bhakti, that's a secondary thing. We speak primarily of the secondary thing first, generally. Because it takes almost a liberated soul to understand the primary goal of life, love of Krishna, love of God. Those who have love of Krishna, love of God, they are living eternally in Goloka, in Vaikuntha. But generally, people cannot understand that sweeter idea, love of God. And God loves the devotee loves God. No, why? That's a weak point for most people. Because people can sense that they are suffering, than to talk about eternal life, no suffering, and this is a little bit more reachable for people in general. But people can't even grasp that at this time. The Christians, they're offering eternal life. They stress on this point. In India, what is stressed about God and temples and everything? Puja and getting something in return. That's what is being stressed. You know what I'm saying? Stressed. You talk to any Brahmin, and they say, well, it's very good fortune if you do this puja. Bring blessing on your house. Brings blessing on your family. They're focusing here. When you go and hear a Christian preacher, Christian, evangelist especially, born again, they'll tell you, repent, sinner. Accept the blood of Jesus. And live forever with God in heaven. They come right, third step is live forever. They stress on eternity, living forever. It's got a strong appeal. But in India, no one is telling you, you can live forever. You can live in the spiritual world forever. Then if you ask that Christian what you do there, yes, this is like a garden, you have swimming pools, you have house servants, different consent, your family is all there with you, children are also there. You'll go to heaven and your family, your children will be with you in heaven. But I asked one man, I said, but how's that possible? Because my son, he may also grow up and become a Pukka Christian and he goes to heaven. How will he be my son? How will he be my son in heaven? He's all grown up. He has his own son. And his son also may be a good Christian. How do we have that family there? They have no answer to that. But in Krishna consciousness, if you start to talk to us about Vrindavan or even Vaikuntha, how it is there, how there are families there, how are the relations there, we are not without an answer. And the answers are consistent with reality, not that simply giving answer, but answer, real answer about the truth. No one says anything about this. Newspaper comes every day. Kaveri striking, beating, bombing in Western countries. Same thing. Stock market up, stock market down. These are the concerns of life. These things come and go. Krishna says they come and go like the changing seasons. Yesterday it was sunny. Today it's raining. This afternoon it may be sunny. We should not become attached to any of these conditions. They come and they go. They come and they go. Sometimes more, sometimes less. They come and they go. There is night, and the night passes, there is day. You cannot live in the day forever. The day goes, there is night. The nature of this world, nothing lasts forever. Not even the suffering. Not even the suffering. You have some pain, and after some time it just goes. So, but everybody is focused here. And particularly in India, in religion, everybody is completely focused here. Everything is done for auspiciousness to better the life here. But what better the life we have got? Do we live a little bit longer even? Do we live any longer? No, actually not. Some do, some don't. Overall, we don't. Overall, in Kali Yuga, the quality of life diminishes, the duration of life diminishes. It goes down, down, and down. There's a company that makes water filters. Understand? That company is called First Need. First Need. There's only one thing that you need more than water, and that's air. Air and water. Without air, how long can you live? Well, if you can hold your breath, you can live 5 minutes, 6 minutes. But that's because you have air. If you take out the air, you live a few seconds, 30 seconds, a minute. That's all. You cannot live without air. That is first need. And next, you cannot live without water. Even if you don't take water in the wrong circumstances for 5 days, you die. You have to take water or you die. Water and air. They used to say, these are the two things in life are free. Water and air. God gave these things free. After that, you pay. You pay for everything, right? But now we live in a time, you can't say that anymore. You can't say water and air are free. There's water charge in every city. Everyone pays a water bill. Water is not free. And a lot of places, the water that comes by the public water is unfit for human consumption. You have to buy purified water or buy a water filter. So you have to pay to drink pure water. The foolish people, they drink right from the Kaveri, which is filled with pesticides and all these things. They drink this. Right? Now this water is clean. It's coming now. It came from dam, because from mountain to dam, there's very little agriculture. But down, and by the time it goes, all chemicals, everything is washed, is in the water. Kaveri is spiritual water, but floating in the water are chemicals and all these things. It's like prashad is prashad, but if you put a rock in the prashadam, you can't say it's all prashadam. There's a rock in there, and if you swallow that rock or bite that rock, what will it do to you? Break your tooth. So what do these chemicals will do to you? People are drinking this water and getting sick and fever and all these things, jaundice and so many things. They don't know. They can't afford. They're stuck. They can't even afford. And then there is air tax also. It's just not called air tax. But there are different taxes which are brought down on vehicles and emissions control. And it hasn't quite come to the fact of tax to call air tax, but actually, not only the air, the whole atmosphere is polluted. The atmosphere is polluted. There are acid rains in some parts of the northern hemisphere. The industrial countries produce so much that goes over in another place and it comes down. And if it rains on your car, it will burn holes in your car. Acid rain is called. It's not every day, it just comes down sometimes. Not holes, but it will burn the paint. It destroys national monuments. In Canada, many forests were destroyed by acid rain and lakes. Coming out of the air, acid. This smoke that comes from the two-cycle rickshaws, this is the main cause of tuberculosis. There are some causes. This is the main one. And in India, where we live, these cities, the 50% of the air you breathe is exhaust fumes from either diesel trucks, buses, or these rickshaws. So it's that's one of the reasons why we decided not to have an ashram in a big city in India as our main ashram. Because it's intolerable to see that the devotees forever just have to live in a place where they don't even have air. But even if the devotees don't have air, then we're living and doing such a thing that even that sacrifice can be made. Well, what is the benefit for a materialist? He lives where he doesn't even have air. His life is reduced by 10 years. His children's life and health is reduced. What does he gain out of that? Nothing. He just shorted on his life and it's over. But if a devotee makes such a sacrifice, then Krishna takes the devotee to be with him in Goloka. But even at that, still, we like to see the situation for living in some decent way. So, it is such a dark age that people will not even get air and water, and it goes on like this more and more until the sun itself is killing you. And people will have to hide from the sun. Already, We have so many skin diseases which are coming from the sun now, because the atmosphere is so polluted that something happens and the sun rays create cancers. And so this will go on increasing until people find themselves completely hiding from the sun, considering the sun is a bad thing. This is Kali Yuga.